In the opening scene of Russian director Sergei Eisenstein's classic 1938 film, Alexander Nevsky, the camera fixes its unmoving lens on a field of bones. The skeletons of long dead corpses lie unmoving as the grass twitches at the touch of an unseen puff of wind. In the background, Prokofiev's masterful musical score slowly rises from the deafening silence in a mournful lament, while the birds of prey pick, pick, pick at the skulls of the dead. This is Eisenstein's horrific vision of the aftermath of warfare in the 13th century. And this is what I think of when I read Ezekiel's description of the valley to which the Spirit of God took him, filled with dry bones. But God did not take Ezekiel to that valley merely to observe the scene. The prophet is called there to declare the word of the living God that will bring life once again to the bones of the dead. And as Ezekiel's vision unfolds, God speaks, then the prophet speaks, and then the bones rattle as they begin to creep across the surface one toward another. Each bone joins itself to its neighbor. Sinews and tendons appear to connect them again. Flesh spreads over them so that the bones become once again dead bodies. And finally, God summons the wind to breathe life into the dead. And the corpses rise up and stand on their feet. Once again, now living persons once more. It is normal and right that we should see in Ezekiel's vision a foreshadowing of the resurrection of the dead. For Christ has promised to you that on the last day he will join your bones one to another. Flesh will again cover you. Breath will again fill your lungs, and he will raise you up from the grave and bring you to himself, and you will join your voice to all the people of God from every nation gathered around the throne of the Lamb, and the cacophony of Babel will resolve itself into one great Te Deum, rattling the walls of eternity with a paean of glory to him who rose in triumph over death itself. This is normal and right, but it's not the point that God is making to Ezekiel in this text. As Ezekiel stands amidst the vast army of God's risen people, three times in Ezekiel's text, God makes his point perfectly clear. In verse 6, he says, I will spread skin over you and place breath in you so that you will live. Then you will know that I am Yahweh. Again in verse 13, he says, when I've opened your graves and brought you up from your graves, my people, then you will know that I am Yahweh. And in the last verse, he says, when I have put the breath within you and you live, and when I have placed you upon the land, then you will know that I am Yahweh. In this way, God makes his message plain. The resurrection of Israel that Ezekiel foretells is not an end unto itself. Rather, it is a means to a greater end. It will teach Israel to know the Lord. For only in knowing the Lord will Israel finally have eternal life. Now, I don't know if any of you know me well enough to know that I've had a lifelong, or at least adult life long, love affair with philosophy, especially with that branch of philosophy known as epistemology, which deals with the question of what you can know and how you can know it. The 18th century Scottish philosopher David Hume argued in his Inquiry Concerning Human Understanding that there are only two kinds of knowledge, which he called relations of ideas and matters of fact. In the category of relations of ideas, Hume placed all knowledge that is arrived at by the operation of the mind alone, whether mathematical logic, statements such as 2 + 2 = 4, or what we might today call linguistic logic, statements such as a bachelor is an unmarried male. This kind of knowledge, Hume asserts, yields absolute certainty, but only within its own closed logical system. It tells us nothing about the real world. In the category of matters of fact, Hume places everything that can be known through the operation of the senses, statements such as the earth has one moon, or gravity causes things to fall when they're dropped. Such statements, Hume tells us, give us information about the real world, but they can never give us absolutely certain knowledge for two reasons. First, because they're contingent upon the accuracy of our observations, and secondly, because they can only really tell us about the past. They can't actually be used to tell us about the future. Hume is right about his relations of ideas, but he is wrong with regard to his matters of fact. For one thing, there must be at least one other kind of knowledge. We might call it existential knowledge, in which category are statements such as, I am happy. These statements and the knowledge communicated by them cannot be achieved by the operation of reason alone, nor by the observation of the external world through the senses. In the second place, Hume is wrong because he fails to recognize that to know matters of fact is nothing more than to believe them, and to believe them to such an extent that we are willing to live our lives as if they are true. Indeed, except for Hume's relations of ideas, all of what we call knowledge is really nothing other than a belief that is held to such an extent that we are willing to live as if it is true. By this point, I assume you're wondering two things. First, what in the heck does all that have to do with Ezekiel's vision of dry bones? And second, how in the world is Dr. Adams going to wrap this sermon up in the next 45 seconds? The answer to both is this. When through Ezekiel's vision, God calls Israel to know the Lord, he calls them to believe that Yahweh and Yahweh alone is God, and to live in the certainty of that faith. In the same way, God calls you to know the Lord. That is, to believe that he and he alone is God, and to live in the certainty of that faith. And it is for this reason that he teaches us through the prophet Habakkuk that the righteous shall live by his faith. By his grace, the living God, the living Word of God, has made you alive. He has given you such a faith. In Jesus, you do know the Lord now with the same certainty that God gave to Ezekiel's resurrected army. In the certainty of that faith, you live. Think about it. Believe it. live by it. For only in your resurrection will you have a greater knowledge. In the name of Jesus, amen.